Welcome back to Nonfiction Friends, where truth is stranger than fiction. My name's Rebecca.
Trick or treat!
No.
Oh. One of those houses.
Lights
I see
off,
how it is.
I don't have any candy.
Okay, fine. I'm Josh.
I'm
still outside the house.
Could be handing out raisins or something.
You know, raisins aren't that bad. They're covered in yogurt.
Yeah, if they're covered in chocolate, they're fine. But remember, did you ever get people who handed you raisins when you trick-or-treated?
I got a banana one time.
That's ridiculous. It's going to get bruised in the bag.
I ate it.
That's offensive.
I like bananas.
I think in today's day and age, people would be too freaked out.
I don't know if anyone still trick-or-treats.
Where do you live? I feel sorry for your neighbors. You live in a land with no trick-or-treaters?
I think last year we literally had, we got a bowl and everything. We were set up, our light was on and whatnot, and no one came.
That's so sad, but then you get to eat all that candy. So.
It's bad. I had so much candy.
Hey man, people still trick or treat. Like people Mom, get dropped
me.
Off by the van full in my neighborhood.
I live in front of a school, and there's no kids coming
See,
around.
That's why they just stay far away. They're like, these people are used to us.
I mean, people like do like the Disney thing, you know?
Yeah,
because I get you know. Yeah.
I always get plenty of trick or treaters. I usually run out of candy.
Really?
Yeah, and then I have to
what,
turn
what,
my light
what
on.
Kind of candies you buy to give out?
Okay.
You one of those full bar candy people, or you?
No. Full honesty, I...
You buy the crappy candy, don't you? Off-brand.
No. I use what's left over from Mickey's Not So Scary. Because I got a ton of candy. And I have a full big bowl of candy left from that. Like Skittles and Starburst.
Wait,
stuff.
Have you gone yet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to buy a bag of, like, chocolate fun-size pieces to, like, supplement.
She's going
to
give you Tootsie Rolls. Don't go to Rebecca's house because you get secondhand candy.
It is secondhand candy, but it's all still wrapped, you know? It's fine. It saves me money because candy is expensive. Buying those big bags?
Not after Halloween.
No, not after Halloween when you can eat it. But, like, if you're buying it for trick-or-treaters, it's, like, $10 a bag. That's bonkers.
I mean, I guess.
Dollar store candy is fine.
She's going to give you, like, Tootsie Rolls.
I wouldn't even do that, because then I can't eat them.
What's wrong with Tootsie Rolls?
I don't like them.
You can't eat them, or you don't like them?
I don't like them. I don't like Tootsie Rolls. I like the fruity Tootsie Rolls, but not the chocolate.
I like the vanilla Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, those are good. We haven't even discussed what we were going to be discussing today.
We're not talking about candy and trick-or-treating?
No, but that would be a really good idea. Put a pin in that.
No.
We're talking today about hauntings.
Hauntings. We're continuing some
Again.
Of our spooky tales
yes.
about places that's, and locations.
That's why we got instantly derailed into that a candy conversation.
You may or may not want to visit one day.
No. Well, no.
Why?
Well, some of these, no.
Would you ever go... Okay, so you would go to a haunted house, correct? Like a
yes.
legit haunted house.
Yes.
Would you go to a sanatorium?
No.
Is that where you draw the line?
That's where I draw the line. Like, I'll go to the Lizzie Borden house or something, or the Winchester house, but I'm not going into an abandoned hospital.
I think hospitals are where I would draw the line. Because that, like, big buildings that are, like, abandoned hallways. I hate long hallways.
Yeah, and it's dark and dirty and gross and, like, not normal for humans to be in.
Oh,
no. I draw the line there.
Well... Have I got a location for you, eventually? Okay. Are you going first or am I going?
I mean, I can. I'll go first.
I'll go, fine.
My book is called National Geographic Guide to the World's Supernatural Places. Close Encounters, Haunted Houses, and Other Spooky Hotspots by Sarah Bartlett, found in... 133.1, same as last time.
It has pictures in it.
It has pictures, so I like this
That's
book.
The most important thing.
If you check out this copy from the Hart Memorial Branch, be careful with it. It's a little fragile.
Yeah.
It's Italian, fragile.
boy.
It is a nice book because it does have a lot of pictures and it really like sets the mood. So I'm going to talk about a couple places. One of them is where I've been to before, the Tower of London in London, England. It is the most haunted building in England, famous for weeping statues, wandering ladies, Anne Boleyn's orb, a pacing Henry VI who appears on the anniversary of his murder.
I think weeping statues wouldn't get me.
Wouldn't get you?
Would get me.
I was going to say, like, that's weird.
It's,
especially if it weeps blood.
Nope. Nope.
So, done. Like, a big bright orb is fine, but a statue that's got water coming out of its eyes.
My thing with orbs, I'm just like, meh.
Well, these are orbs that show up in pictures that are, like, in-person orbs. Like, balls of light.
I would touch it.
Because that's cool. I don't think Anne Boleyn would like that very much.
Oh, no.
And in case you didn't know, Anne Boleyn is one of the wives of Henry VIII, who was beheaded at the Tower of London.
Maybe she wants a high five. Is the ball her head?
No, well, I mean, maybe, but she only appears in orb form.
It's her head.
I don't know how they know it's Anne Boleyn, but there you go. Also, Lady Jane Grey is a ghost there. Apparently as well. I've been to the Tower of London, and it certainly does have a vibe. Lots of people have died here vibe.
Oh.
A lot of people have died there. but Anne Boleyn lived there for a while, so presumably, besides dying there, it's why she haunts the place. And you can actually stay in her quarters in her house. It's one of the most haunted places as well.
Would you do that?
I would for sure do that, because that's awesome.
Yeah, I guess that sounds pretty cool.
It's interesting to me that ghosts don't stick to one location if you believe everything you hear.
Who's going to stop you from traveling places?
That's true. You can just...
You can't get stopped by customs.
Disappear and reappear. Okay. A place that I have never been before and I don't recommend going is called Island of Dolls.
I've heard of this island.
It is south of Mexico City, right off of the canals. I can't pronounce the name. It's
You did it!
There are spooky bits of dolls hanging from every tree on this island. Because apparently they started to appear about 50 years ago when a man named Don Julian Santana lived there. He apparently was tormented by the ghost of a little girl who drowned in that canal. So he used to hang dolls to placate the spirit. I don't think it worked, though, because there's, like, hundreds of doll parts there now, and he was found dead, drowned in the same canal that the little girl was.
It was the dolls.
So visitors who go there, which I don't know why you would, claim to hear their name whispered from behind them, and you have to offer the dolls a gift before you leave or face the dire consequences.
I don't know. Dolls. I don't like them.
I don't like them either. Yeah. And these are even creepier looking because they're, like, rotten.
Like, I don't know. I can do, like, a Barbie doll or, like, a...
Yeah.
Like a modern doll, but, like...
Not one of these with, like, the blinking eyes. Like, look at the picture of this one. Her eye
she's
is blinking.
No, she's winking.
And then there's holes on this one from the speaker.
She's
it's
like,
just, like a
I
torso.
Might be haunted. Who knows?
Okay. Going back to the United Kingdom, did you know, this is not so much a ghost, but there is an ancient vampire who roams the Scottish Highlands called Baboan Sithel, or something like that.
That's a name.
These are women vampires, demons, whatever, who rise from the dead and hunt in packs. And the only way to stop them is to build stone mounds called cairns. And do not touch them. If you see one, don't
what,
remove
build
it.
A mound really quick of stones?
Yep.
Or
just like make a little like snowman out of rocks.
I would be so bad at that. They would just be like, I don't know. Because rocks aren't like the most like stable things to make a snowman out of. Like, what am I?
I've actually been through the Scottish Highlands.
Did you see stones?
I don't remember seeing any stones.
See, they didn't have time. They got killed before.
But don't touch them if you see them. Don't touch them if you disturb them.
What else is going to happen?
You're going to raise the spirits. They're going to come after you.
I'm going to kick one if I see
them. These vampires. Speaking of vampires, in Serbia, the ancient Roma folklore believes that pumpkins actually transform into vampires. If they're kept for more than 10 days, they will start to vibrate and move around the house at night while making growling
sounds. How long have we had these pumpkins in our room?
Like 2 weeks. Keep an eye on them. If they start moving or growling, we're in trouble. But pumpkin vampires, I guess is what you'd call them, they don't feast on blood. They feast on things like hair and flakes of skin and nail
clippings. That's not a vampire! That's just a cannibal!
I mean, they're not a cannibal because they're a pumpkin. It's just a human flesh-eating pumpkin.
Oh, no!
In Pirani, one of their other folklore tales is they believe that fresh pumpkins kept until after Christmas will turn into vampires.
Nope. See? I told you we have to get these pumpkins out of here.
The best way to destroy them...
Oh, here we go.
...is to plunge them into boiling water, discard the liquid, scrub them with a broom, and then burn the broom.
Yeah, but you still have a pumpkin.
Well, you throw that away after you've boiled it and scrubbed it.
Okay, I'll be right back.
You throw the pumpkin away and then burn the broom, because apparently the broom soaks up the bad juju or whatever, and...
Yeah, that's a nice broom. Like, you just throw away a perfectly good broom.
Yeah, right? Now, here's a story from the U.S. In Manchester, Vermont, there was a corpse discovered underneath a courthouse.
Weird.
Right? She presumably died of consumption after getting married to Captain Isaac Burton. And in the last stages of her illness... the family became convinced that she was becoming possessed by a vampire. So they exhumed her body from underneath this courthouse, which still stands, and burned her organs, vital organs, in charcoal. So you can go to this courthouse. I wouldn't recommend that either.
Can I go under the courthouse?
It's just called the courthouse in Manchester, Vermont. Her ghost is said to wander the ground searching for her heart.
Yeah, I mean, they burned it.
Yeah, I'd be kind of mad too. Like, I died. Can you give me some slack? Can you not bury, like, dig me back up, burn my organs, and then put me back in the ground? That's just rude.
Rude. Absolutely rude. Okay, so I am still currently using America's Most Haunted Hotels. The book I had earlier this week, by Jamie and Robert Whitmer, These Ghost Hunters, and I have a new hotel for you here.
Well, that's good. I was hoping you wouldn't tell the same story as you did last time.
Yeah, there's this boat.
Ghost ship.
Anyway, this hotel is called the Kehoe House. It's in Savannah, Georgia, so relatively close.
Kind of close, about like a 6 or 7 hour drive.
Yeah.
Give or take.
This house was named after an Irish immigrant, William Kehoe, who came to America in 1851 and worked for an iron foundry. He had 10 kids and was described as a hardworking, religious, and charitable. That word. Charitable man.
Well, nice. Sounds like a nice guy.
The house was built in 1892, and it was designed by DeWitt Brune. It was later sold once William's wife passed away, and the children grew up and, you know, were too old and moved out of the house.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Later on, this is where earlier comes in, later on the home served as a mortuary. Starting in 1937, it was later owned by Goethe Funeral Home from the 1950s to 1970s. Mm-hmm. The basement functioned as an embalming room, and two rooms upstairs served as viewing rooms. Mm-hmm. See, that's classic haunting.
Never go goes well.
In 1980, famous football star Joe Namath bought the house for $80,000.
What?
And later selling it for, guess how much?
Like twice that.
$530,000.
I'm sorry. What? Why would you buy a house that was a morgue?
It's an old house.
And then just flip it.
It's an old house. Well, it took 10 years, so 1980 to 1990. And I still think, like, even by today's standard, that's
quite a profit.
That's $500,000.
That's a healthy profit.
However, since 2002, it has served as an upscale bed and breakfast. Many theories involving the hauntings revolve around the Kehoe children.
Nope.
You draw the line at a child ghost.
I don't like it.
Some of the children have actually perished over the years, either within the house or surrounding the house, either due to bonfires.
Bonfires?
There was I think I read that there was a contest going on in the town. And I don't know, like, I guess this is what people did for entertainment.
How to kill your own children?
No. It was like, who can build the biggest bonfire?
Oh my gosh, it's you deserve it. That's ridiculous.
And so, bonfire got out of control, two kids died.
Oh man, you know.
There's also another theory about children getting stuck in chimneys.
Oh gosh.
During games of hide and seek.
Oh no.
I think the story was that their father was playing hide and seek with them. And then got called away on, like, work. So he, like, you know, went to work and then came back. And then while they were at dinner, he noticed, like, that his daughter wasn't there. And they were like, hey, where is she? Couldn't find her in the house. Had the police start looking for her. I think it was about, like, a couple days later. Like, he started to smell something.
Oh, God.
And then, like, he noticed, he looked at the chimney. And then there was, like, a decaying body. And, like, apparently, her dress had got caught or something.
Well. She won that round of hide and seek.
Yeah, I think that was, well, that's true. Well, I mean, she was found. To be fair.
Days later.
There was, that theory is more.
Gross?
Well, yes. I don't want to say not truthful. Like, it wasn't, there's not a lot of, like, evidence for that, to prove that. When the authors asked a local person, they actually shed some more light on it and says, like, the two girls, like, that were supposedly stuck in the chimney actually succumbed to Rosalia, like a disease, and like they had gotten sick and they had passed away.
Wow.
It wasn't as not while playing in chimneys.
Right.
And I think the last theory revolving around the children was just like, it was like the children of the house returning home once they had passed away.
Mm. Aww.
So many ghost hunters have come through this house, obviously. So they actually included some of their reports here in the book. So things happen such, seeing apparitions of a small girl dressed in white, seen walking around the house.
Playing hide and seek?
Yeah, playing hide and seek.
Pretty tidy.
And while someone was sleeping, they felt someone, and this would freak me out, they felt someone stroke their face and hair.
Oh, gosh.
While they're, only to wake to a young child who would then, like, disappear.
Nope. No, thank you.
Just like,
check out. That would be so creepy.
Doors have also been known to open and close on themselves, as well as the doorbell ringing on its own.
Annoying.
Without any sort of explanation.
Annoying.
Ding dong ditch, you know?
It would be actually creepier if you felt someone stroke your face and you woke up and it was like a real kid.
Okay, no. I will give you that.
Not a spirit, but like an actual child. It's like, hello.
Happy nice dreams. So the Widmers actually went up to the attic to do a flashlight session.
Flashlight session.
Yeah, so they'll like put a flashlight here and there. Like they'll ask the spirits, like, "Hey, turn this off if you know you're here with me," or like, "If yes to this question, turn on this flashlight."
Because everybody knows the spirits can't resist flashlights. That's satisfying.
It's supposedly like the energy having to do with like the battery, and like it's something deliberate, because like flashlights, like you'd have to like turn, like it's something that you have to like physically do, like move to like make work. And they said that they experienced like flashlights like flickering, and like when they were asking questions and stuff, and they were out there, I believe, for an hour or so or more before they had to get out. But like they did experience stuff like they couldn't explain in terms of the flashlights, because they tested them, like they weren't loose or anything, there wasn't anything faulty with them. They were working before they started this, and
spooky.
I actually have here a picture that they took, and you can see this too if you check it out. I believe this is the attic. Is this the attic? Yeah. Or maybe it's a different room. Anyway, so there's this picture of this room with like a couple of shelves and stuff.
Yeah.
In one shot, it's like just the shelves and the chair. And then in the next shot, here's circled, like you can see like faint like distortion on like the background here on the shelves, like that wasn't there in the frame before.
Right. Looks like a person.
Yeah. Looks like an average height person.
It looks like something out of Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, something you would just like see in your like, peripherals.
What was that? Like,
say, huh? Was that a? Oh, okay.
Heebie-jeebies.
One of the comments that they said at the end of the book, I mean the end of this section here, was that the hauntings from like this house specifically, and like in most of Savannah, Georgia, they wouldn't consider something like them to be evil or malicious. It's just like
just
ghosts,
out.
Just like hanging out, you know, just doing their own thing. So, I mean, that's nice. So if you wanted to, like, visit, like, nice ghosts.
Yeah. I mean, they're
so
kids.
So you can go there.
That's good. Good kids.
Yeah, and like I said before, in the previous episode, like, at the back end of, like, each of the sections, they list the location and contact info of these locations and, like, what kind of things that they offer. So the Kehoe House actually offers tours and things like that. There are 13 guest rooms.
13.
Yeah. So, space is limited.
Coincidental. Very...
Yeah, that's a weird number to have, right?
A spooky number.
I guess. Do you want to stay, like, downstairs in the embalming room? Sure.
It's funny, because hotels don't usually have, like, 13th floor kind of things from, like, superstition.
Yeah. But, oh well. So, weekly rates start at $180 per night.
Yikes.
So, not cheap.
No. But if they had to pay $500,000 for that house, then no wonder. Gotta get their money back somehow.
That's fair. But, yeah. It's
bonkers.
Visit this place if you want to. If you so choose. See some nice ghosts.
I feel like, Savannah, there's gotta be a lot of places that you can go to get some spooky experiences in.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
All right. Well, coming back from our trips abroad, what do we have going on around these parts?
We're closed. No, we're not. So, Saturday, October 26th, just a few days shy of Halloween, at the BBL Library from 2 to 4 p.m., we have Where the Wild Things Are Costume Bash.
Yay!
Yeah. Roar your terrible roar and gnash your terrible teeth at this celebration of wild things. Activities, face painting, snacks, and mischief are promised at our wild rumpus.
Sweet.
Jammies, costumes, and monsterly ensembles are encouraged.
Encouraged. All right.
Yeah.
That sounds cute.
Perfect for the season.
Let the wild rumpus start.
We have some big news coming up, too. So stay tuned to our Twitter to find out where we will be at the end of this month.
Yep. It's very exciting.
Don't
want to
spoil
excited.
Anything yet, but
I'm very
yes.
excited.
Or I might spoil it. Let's see. When will I post this? Who knows? You'll find out.
When you least
might
suspect
already,
it.
You might already know this information. As far as book recommendations go, I'm still reading Wayward Son. Haven't made too much progress, as much progress as I would have liked since last we talked. But, you know, getting there.
Yeah.
I'm not a fast reader.
I finished Good Omens. It was amazing.
Was it a good omen?
It was so good. I loved it. Highly recommend. Definitely going to be looking into more stuff by Neil Gaiman. And I'm still working on the second book in the Discovery of Witches series. So, yeah, not much different for me either.
Okay. And just, we love our listeners.
And that's nonfiction, friends.